Therefore, let me begin again. But I love to show the video because it reminds me of everything God done in my life. Now my family look older, but I don't. I look like I did when I was 17 years old. And thank you for coming. That'd be a wonderful, wonderful day. Wonderful 2 days. And I'm so honored that you chose to come tonight. And preacher, let me say before I forget, thank you, my dear brother, for inviting me to come. And you know, when a preacher invite me to come, they see me on TV, or they see me in a big group, but you never know what the guy going to do locally to the church. And he took a big, big risk. Are you awake? But I thank you for letting me come and thank you for giving me an open invitation. I give you something to pray about. Let's make this an annual thing. My calendar is open. Because I'm the CEO. My philosophy, everybody can be moved to a different date. And therefore, if I don't come back, it's not my fault. It's his fault. Or it might be Jimbo's fault, or whoever. And if you hear other people say how long I preach, finish it for them. Yes, I agree with you, but didn't he bless the church? And people, I want you to know, South Avenue Baptist Church in Pasadena will always stand out in my life and in my ministry. I mean that. Last night was a great crowd. Tonight, I'm amazed you came out at 6 o'clock. But more may be coming in, but thank you for doing what you did today to arrange your schedule to come. Well, tonight I want to speak to you on in the midnight hour. What do you do in the midnight hour? What do you do when a doctor come into the room and say, I'm sorry, we done everything we can do, but I'm sorry your mom or your dad or your spouse gonna die with cancer. I'm sorry. What do you do when the bank call you up and say, you've been 3 months behind with your payment on your car and out payment, and we got to reprocess your car, and we have to foreclose on you for being default at the bank? What do you do? What do you do in the midnight hour when a spouse walk in the door one day and out of nowhere they say, they don't love you. I don't love you anymore. I'm leaving town with another woman or another man. What do you do when bad things happen to you? Well, tonight, let's discover when is the midnight hour. Normally, we think of about 12 o'clock a.m., don't we? But you know, like I do, the midnight hour can be at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, but everything around you, everything in front of you, go totally black. You are in the midnight hour, and I believe with all my heart that every one of us have had a midnight hour. Amen? My midnight hour came October 16th, 1968. I was living in St. Louis at the time with my sister, not with the one that molested me, but the good one. And every morning at 5:30 a.m., my sister or my brother-in-law will come by my room and open the door a little bit and turn on the light and say, "David, it's time to get up. It's time to get ready for school. Your brother's here on the table, and we're leaving for work now, but we will see you after work. Have a nice day." Every day that came. But October 16th, the door opened. The light came on. And my sister said, "David, wake up. We got something to tell you." I said, "Up on the bedside, we want you to comprehend what we got to tell you." And I woke up and I'd sit down on the edge of the bed and I saw my sister and brother-in-law in the doorway and they'd say, "Three words." My sister said three words that changed my life forever. "She is gone. She is gone. She is gone." Mom and Dad, at 2:30 this morning, we didn't know when to wake you and tell you, but she is gone now, and therefore, get up, throw something in the suitcase, because we got to go down to Jonesboro, Arkansas, and bury Mom. And when they shut the door, the words echo in the room, "She is gone. She is gone. She is gone. No, she can't be gone. What will I do now?" I got up, got ready, we left, and I sat in the back seat looking out the window, and my face was plenty in the window. And for 4 hours from St. Louis to Jonesboro, Arkansas, tears came streaming down my face and say, "She gone, she gone, she gone. She can't be gone. My hopes are gone. My future is gone. My life is going down the tube." All the daylight was on the outside, But I just entered the midnight hour in my life. What did you do in the midnight hour? Well, the Bible is the only absolute that we can go to the bank with and deposit in our spiritual bank account. If you got your Bible, turn with me to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. Tonight, I want to let you see what two men in jail did at the midnight hour. Who am I talking about? Paul and Silas. Look at verse 25. If you will, the Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas pray and sing praises unto God, and all the other prisoners heard them. And at midnight, Paul and Silas pray and sing praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. Let's go into the jail cell, mayn't we? Because tonight I'm a firm believer. Many of you are in jail by your own making, by the circumstance surround your life, and you build up four walls around you. And tonight I want to tell you what to do in the midnight hour, because Paul and Silas sing and pray and sing praises unto God. Can you imagine what happened that night? I mean, they were beaten. Do you remember that? They were beaten because they cast out a devil, a demon, and a little girl, and they threw them in jail for doing good. How many times do we feel like we are punished for doing good? And it was a patch. It was black. It was pitch black. And Paul looked over to Silas and said, "Silas, are you awake?" "Yo, I am, Paul. What you need? Well, Paul said, "Do you still have a song in you?" He'd say, "Yep, I sure do." "Yeah, what do you want to sing?" I don't know, Silas. "Let's pray and begin singing praises unto God." That's what they did at the midnight hour. And the Bible said the prisoner heard them. And the song went throughout the jail. The song went in the streets of Philippi, and the song made an upward turn. In the song, they sang praises unto God, and the praises went above the moon and the stars, and the song went all the way to heaven. It went in the throne room of God. And guess who was listening? God. God said, Angel, I hear singing. And the angel said, "So you do, God. That all we do up before you, that you're going to do it here." And God said, no, I don't heal angelic singer. I heal singer for my two bondservants. They were thrown in jail, and they are in pain in their life, and they're singing unto me. And God said, I like it. God said, I really like it. And God started tapping a foot. Huh? You'd say, it don't say that in the Bible. It does too. That song was a Southern gospel song. Yes. What do we do at a Southern gospel concert? We tap the toe, don't we? Because the Holy Ghost get in one foot and go to town by tapping. And therefore, I know Paul and Silas' song was a Southern gospel song. You'd say, David, it don't tell me that. It don't tell me that God would tap me if for all what's this. The Bible says in verse 26, and there came a great earthquake. What do you think caused the earth to quake? Huh? God shut down heaven to heal Paul and Silas sing in the midnight hour. And my dear friends, tonight, God will shut down heaven if you sing at the midnight hour. God loved the song of the saints. I know the song was not praise, a praise song, because when we hear praise song, what do? We lift up our hand, don't we? But when it's the gospel, we tap our foot, and God loves it. And when we sing in the midnight hour, when it is pitch black in your life, if you sing from your heart, God will say, shh, I am singing for my little saint. Lady who just buried a spouse of 64 years. I am singing. See, the young man who is leaving the divorce court. And the wife took everything from him. And he felt so all alone. But yet, he's singing in the midnight hour. Do you know we can sing without moving our lips? That's the whole point. You'd say, David, I don't feel like singing. Sing anyway. I don't want to sing. Then stay in jail. And stay bound up. And you are enslaved. But I guarantee you, when you sing at the midnight hour, God will unchain you. God will unshackle you. And God will set you free on the inside. If you want real freedom tonight, in the midnight hour, just sing. they were women in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah. The Bible called her a barren woman who could not have children. My wife never been barren. Every time I look at my wife, she got pregnant. And I tell, and God told the woman, sing. But before you sing, build many barns. Because after you sing to me, I'm going to give you children. After children, I'm going to fill your barns up with children. If God can open a womb by singing in the midnight hour, hallelujah, let's do it. I don't feel like it. Do it anyway. I don't want to stay in jail. Huh? Because what did the Bible say? God opened the jail cell. And God unchained every prisoner. God said, them feet. Do you remember the jail keeper? He woke up, he saw all the doors were open, and he grabbed his sword and wanted to, he started to kill himself. And Paul said, jail keeper, don't kill yourself. Everybody being accounted for. Nobody left. We all healed. And what did the jail keeper say? Sir, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the Bible said the jail keeper were baptized in all the house. Oh, because Paul and Silas sang in the midnight hour. Therefore, why do we need to sing in the midnight hour? Because people around us will see a melody in our heart, a joy in our step. Oh, all hell broke loose. But if you sing and sing and sing to God, God will set you free. Amen? I remember the day we built Mom, the toughest day of my life at that point. We're supposed to go back, Jim, to St. Louis, to live pick up life as normal. I thought, what normal are we talking about? I just lost my best friend. I just loved my mom, and therefore I went back to St. Louis, and every night after supper time, I forgot I'm in Pasadena, Texas. Therefore, every night after dinner time, duh. When I grow up, dinner come in the middle of the day. Supper come at nighttime. Amen. Amen. And every night after supper time, I went into the living room. My sister had a blue velvet walking chair that all O.C. Okay. Huh? Are we on the same page? I'd sit down in the chill every night, I will cry for 4 or 5 hours every night. I will cry myself to sleep because I was so lonely. The pain is so awful. I miss my mom. I was lonely. I was grieving so much. I have now colitis. I deal with a bell. I got to deal with a bowel disease. Not only cerebral palsy, but I got to deal with a bowel disease. Why? Because the Mayo Clinic that did in 1989, I went to my old clinic and the doctor said, you grieve so much when you were 14 and 15 and the loneliness set into your body. And it shut down, it began to shut down organs. Don't tell me loneliness is for real. It's painful. And I looked down one night in the living room. My sister had an old stereo system about 6 foot long. And she had a stack, a whack, R-A-C-K. A whack, of gospel albums. And I looked down and I started going through the album and I found everybody and every group in the nation there in 1968, and I found the Blackwood Brother, I found the Happy Goodman, I found the Cathedral Quartet, I found a whole list in the Statesman, I found my good friend Jake Edge with the Statesman. He had the album, and I began to put on the album. Do you remember those days? Albums. Do you remember 8-track? But I remember one night. I put on the Happy Goodman on the stereo, and Vester sang a solo, a song that we all know. What a friend we have in Jesus. All of us sin and grieve to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him and pale. Oh, the peace we offer for this. Oh, the needs, pain we bear just because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Listen to that. Oh, the peace we often forfeit. Oh, the pain we bear all because we do not take everything to God in prayer. And I started singing that song in that living room, man, in the blue. I fell in love with that song. And one night I started singing along with Vestal. And the Holy Ghost show up in the living room, that night. And the Holy Ghost took a chill and said about me, the Holy Ghost put an arm around me and say, keep on singing, boy. Keep on singing. Because we know you don't understand why we had to take your mom. We know you don't understand why your daddy died. We know that you don't understand why you have sweep policy. But keep on singing, because one day you will understand. Amen. And thank God, April 17th, 1970, God gave me a new song. Because the Bible says when we get saved, will God give us a new song at salvation? Why do you think he give you a new song? Because he'd say, I know you're going to go, I know you're going to be in an hour, but I'm giving you a song to go back to. My friend, the new song, might not even have a name. But thank God. God loves singing among his children. Amen? 1971, God come and preach. 1973, God called me into evangelism. And preacher, I used to do only 4 or 5 8-day revival. And I will book 48 revival a year. For a year. For 25 years, I did 48 revival. How many weeks in a year? 52. I only got 4 weeks off throughout the year. And I love the revival because it got me in touch that I could pour my life into it and I could let God use me. But every now and then, I end up in a dead Baptist church. Do you want to know the name of it? Okay, I give it to you. Pill City Baptist Church in Pill City, Missouri, in between Springfield and Joplin. Pill City was a small town. They only had one stop sign. They could not afford a stop light. And I was preaching at Pill City Baptist Church. And man, I was giving them everything I had. I was throwing everything at the wall, trying to find something stick. And they did. Dead. And their theme song is, I shall not be moved. And they live out the theme song, Every Invitation. Huh? But yet, I was excited. Because I'd started dating a girl, and she was going to school in at Southwest Baptist College in Bolivar, Missouri. It's 60 miles one way from Pill City. And every day I go since tomorrow to pick up my girlfriend, which is my wife. Now I pick up my girlfriend, I drove all the way back, and I will preach my guts out, and I will take her back to the dormitory, and I drove back to Pell City. Every night I drove 240 miles. If you look up the word idiot in the dictionary, my picture will be there. But on Monday night, we were talking and going to the church. I said, man, I'm not doing anything for the church. They are dead if they go now, and I don't know what else to do. I got to think of something to throw them for a loop. I need to think out of the box. And my girlfriend, what do you think about doing? I don't know. Give me time. I'll figure it out by the time we get there. And I finally said, I'm going to sing a song. Solo. She said, what? I'm going to sing solo. I'm going to sing a song solo tonight. What are you going to sing? I don't know, but don't dare tell anybody. You said, my girlfriend said, have you ever sang a solo before? Absolutely not. What key you going to sing in? And I'd say, I don't know. I can be the worst singer anywhere, but the dead 70 people will never know the difference. Huh? They were country bumpkins. And we got to the church. I preached that night, and everybody thought I was going into the invitation. And all of a sudden, I look over to the pianist and say, ma'am, go to the bench. And she did, and I'm asking you to go to the bench. Don't do anything until I tell you to. And I said, in 1980, I said to the piano player, do you know victory in Jesus? And she said, yeah. And she said, what key do you want in? I'd say, I don't know, pick one. Because by the time I get through with it, I'll be all over the keyboard. And you can tell by what I was saying, the people started setting up and paying full attention. And I turned to the piano one more time, and I said, ma'am, I want you to play slow and soft. Slow, you know, play it sweep a palsy style. Slow and soft. And I look at you in 1980, I said, ma'am, give me a little intro. And it went something like this. I heard him, old story, how a savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary, dude, save a wench. Like we, I heard about. It's groaning all the precious blood atoning. Then I repented all my sins and won the victory. I'd say, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me, then bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me out. I knew him and all my love. It's through him he plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard God say, I like it, boy, sang the second verse. And I said, I heard about its healing. All the cleansing power revealing. How we made the lame to walk again. And caused the blind to see. And then I cried, Lord Jesus, come and heal my boy. Conspell with. And you know what happened? God gave me the song of victory. And I asked everybody to draw me on the cross. Oh, victory. Louder. Yes, he did. He loved me out. I knew him, man, all my love. It's through him. He plunged me to victory beneath the sea. Sing it again, oh victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He taught me then what. In all my love. By the time I got through with the courts, everybody came to the altar. I didn't tell them to. They just responded. And I heard men, women, boys, girls, young people. I heard them bawling like baby and say, oh God, I'm so guilty. Oh God, send a revival and let it begin me. And oh God, I don't want to be dead anymore. I want to be alive, singing victory. And God, look at me. God took a foolish thing to confound the wise. I'm the least one who needs to sing a solo. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And if I did ever get in, I don't know what to dump it out at. But God used my heart in a foolish thing. And I said, God, I promise you, I will sing that everywhere I go. You can go back to your seat. And and though invitations came, I fill up every year, but 9 years after the song was birthed in my heart, I was invited by Dr. Jerry Falwell to be there on a Sunday morning. And the clip you saw me with Falwell, that was September 10th, 1989. I was there that day. And I, on the way up to Lynchburg on September 9th, and I said, God, I need to let you know I'm giving my life story in the morning. The big boy is going to be there. And God, I'm not going to sing my song in the morning. God said, oh, yes, you will. Oh. I said, oh, no, I'm not. God said, remember your palm. Oh, give me a break, God. You know, you give me a patch only one time. They going to be 3,000 people there, and they have 250 people in the choir. Every one of them can sing me under the table. And God said, I know they can. But when you open your mouth and sing, I'm going to put them under the table. And it was the most unbelievable moment. Monday morning, I received a call from Don Norman, Falwell song leader. And he said, David, Dr. Falwell wants you to stop and come to my office before you and Danny leave town. I have something to tell you. I said, give him 1 hour, Don. I put down the phone. I said, see, God, I didn't want to sing, but you wanted me to sing. You pushed the envelope on me, God. And they called me on Monday morning. They going to shoot me out. It's all for your fault. See, I knew something better than you do. And that really happened. And then and I got to the church. We walked into the Don Norman office. It said, sit down on the couch. I said, okay, thank you. And Don said, Dr. Falwell wanted you to come by. But God, he wanted to tell me, he asked me to tell you. Yesterday morning was unbelievable. We never saw so much emotion in the auditorium. But when you sang that song, the people started weeping, and it like a wave, it go from the bunch of the back up to the balcony. It was an unbelievable sight. Thank you for doing that. And said, David, Dr. Falwell wanted to play you on October 2nd in 1 month. And he gonna play you on every television station. And Dr. Falwell needs to know, do we have your permission? I look at him, I said, Don, you woke me up just to ask me to if. For permission the thing is, do play my tape on TV? And say, yeah, I said, do it. Oh, hurry up and do it. I'm excited for you. And said, well, there were another point we need to work out. We are going to charge $30 a pop. $30 for every one video. And how much do you want? And I said, Don, I don't want a dime. He said, no, Dr. Falwell want to give you whatever. If you want $1, if you want $5, if you want a lump sum before or two. I said, Don, stop. Play it. Sell the videos. I don't want a dime. October 2nd, they sold 4,000 videos in 2 hours. You idiot. You I blame idiot. If you want $1, I will win $4,000 that night. If you say I want $5, you make a big whopping $20,000 on October 2nd, and you're not even preaching. You idiot. And Dr. Falwell got so much response, he played me over and over and over. I went back every time for 18 years. I preached a new message for him morning and night, and he played them over and over. And he showed, look at me, listen to me, that Falwell show over 900,000 videos at $30 a pop. May I do the math for you? I don't even need an iPhone to do the math. Dr. Falwell in 18 years made $27 million of my video. You idiot. And what's so funny about the old thing, my older daughter, she, in the fall of 2000, she began a freshman year at Liberty University in Lynchburg, and Dr. Falwell made me pay full tuition. Therefore, if you don't see me in heaven, don't give up on me. Because I will be on the bad side of heaven looking Falwell down. God already gave me permission to build him one with a brand new glorified body. I'm out to get Falwell in heaven. But even though he did not pay me anything for the tapes, he gave me so much explosion. I don't need that. I take my, no, put the lid on.
Lid on?
Sit right there. Thank you. Does anybody want the water? But Dr. Falwell gave me exposure. I've been in some of the top churches in our nation. One of those came at the fall. Well, all of them came at the fall. Well, but one of them in Houston, Texas, at Dr. Young, I've been there 4 or 5 times. I've preached for Dr. Young 4 or 5 times. He saw me on TV. John Hagee, Big Bad John, he saw me on Falwell. And I got so many invitations. I got over 38 invitations in one night after the broadcast. And people, God used Dr. Falwell to put me on the map nationally. And I'm grateful. Money cannot buy that. And October 3rd, the day after a show, I was in my office in Orlando, and my secretary, Bonnie, that I've been with for 18 years, Bonnie said, David, there's somebody on the phone by the name of Bill Gaither. Do you want to take the call? I'd say, yep, I do. And I'd go on the phone and I'd say, hello, Bill. He'd say, hello, David, I don't know you. I heard you for the first time yesterday morning on TV. You were preaching at Falwell at Thomas Ford Baptist Church. And Gloria, my wife, and I saw you, and we want you to know that song you sang, it was one of the most moving time I ever experienced watching TV. It said, I'm having a conference in 2 weeks. Indiana, Indianapolis. There's going to be 10,000 people there. I want you to come. I will fly you and your wife into Indianapolis. I want you to sing Victory in Jesus on the main stage. I said, Bill, I can't sing. He'd say, I know. I heard you yesterday, don't forget. And said, whatever you did for Falwell, do for me. And my wife and I went up there, and we walked into the 10,000 seats, and it was packed. And for the first one we ever, the first one we'd seen was the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. 270 of them. We got closer to the main stage, and I took my seat. Bill introduced me. I got on stage that night. I said, God, you sure do have a sense of humor. And then I realized where I was. I saw the Happy Goodman family that night. I saw the collegiate quartet that night. I saw Over Lister and some of the statesmen that night. I saw my good buddy Jake, and I meant Michael English, I meant Steve Green, I meant them all. And after the service that night, Vester came up to me. You know, Big Vester, you hug the front one time. And I love it, sir. And she brought in on my cheek, only that, only way that's cool. And said, young boy, I want you to know you touched my life tonight. I said, that's so. May I tell you a quick story? Sure, honey. When I was 14 years old, my mom and dad, and it was you, started opening my heart. I heard you on an LP album. I never thought I would ever meet, but here we are. God gave me food so good, and man, I became friends with every one of them, and they are the Cathedral Quartet. Nobody can ever be like them. I love John Galimpain. I was with Galimpain when he crossed Georgia Stormy Banks, when he entered into Buller Land. I was there at the bedside with the family. He died. It broke my heart. I wanted to give the family time to grieve over losing a great man. And I walked into the family room. They were such a heavy spirit of death set over the house. Because we lost a great man. And then his wife came up to me, Van Payne, and his three children, and said, Davis, you meant a lot to Glenn. In fact, 2 weeks ago, he wrote on a piece of paper, when I die, add my servants. I want David Wing to sing Victory in Jesus. You can only imagine the holy moment. And I went to the greatest celebration of somebody's life. And my friend, look at me. When I sung in my midnight hour, God set me free. God unchained me. I'm not bound by the body of Swift. See, I truly have victory in Jesus. And people, I'd sing and I'd still sing that song because God set me free. When you've been free, if you've ever been set free upon it by God, it will change everything about you. You will look at everything in a different way if God set you free. Like I said earlier, about 55 minutes ago, I said many of you are in jail tonight. And I still believe that. And you built a wall. Four of them. You are surrounded by four walls. Oh, we can see them, but you can feel them because you're the one that built them. Because you've been hurt time after time, and over the years, you became hard, and you became hardened, and you be wobbly wall because you think, well, if nobody can get to me, and nobody can hurt me. Let me tell you, you are hurt only by you. And not anybody else. You'd say, preacher, they did it to me. Forget it. Don't hold grudges till down the wall. You don't have the strength to till down the full wall. I got a perfect story for you in the Bible when the disciples were up in the room, up in the upper room, they locked the door. You remember that? After Jesus walked, they locked the door. I think King James said they locked the door tightly. Nobody going to get in. In the next verse, Jesus stood among them. How did he get in? Huh? Through the wall. Through the wall. Jesus will come through the wall to deliver you tonight. If you be honored and say, oh God, I don't want to be in jail all my life. I don't want to turn into a bitter old man or a grumpy old man. I want you to set me free. I've been hurt in my life, but I'm laying it all down because I want you to set me free. And the Bible says, when Jesus sets you free, you will be free indeed. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Will do you leave your song? What circumstance got the best of you and you lay down the song? We all been there as born again believer. We all been there. And the first thing we do, we lay down our song. Will do you leave it? And I want you to think in your heart, what location is your song? Your song is where you left. You lost a child. You lost two childs. At pain over some compensate you so much, you just lay down your song. Please go back to where you lay your song down in your heart right now. When you get there, ask for grace from God and say, God, give me the grace to pick up my song and give me the grace to put that song in my heart one more time. Many of you, and I don't want to be redundant. I don't. but many of you are in jail tonight. The people are in prison tonight are freer than you are in your own life. I want to tell you, you can experience real freedom. Number two question. Is your song on the bottom shelf in your library, in your heart? Because some circumstance, you took the song out of your heart and you went to the corner of the bookshelf and you pulled your song in the bookshelf and you even covered your song with books because you don't want to ever see your song again. Uncover the song. That's good stuff. I'm astounded with what I'm saying tonight. I mean, it's coming together tonight. My song is in my heart. Will it shoot? Don't give me the church lingo. I'm so sick of the church lingo. Fine. How are you? Fine. How are you? Good. Don't lie. To say, you know, I have a bad day today. And there have been better days. I'm trying to get through a 24-hour time span. When the last time, dear people, you heard a church person say, I don't feel like going to church anymore. When the last time you heard a preacher in the pulpit say, get up before the people and say, I've been trying to study all week. I don't have any fresh bread to give you. Pray for me. The number one problem in our churches is we are not authentic. We are not true to ourselves. And I would love when anybody come up to me and say, you're speaking to me tonight. I love a song a long time ago and I become a bitter person. I become an angry person. I don't like who I am. Pray for me. Now that gut level honest. And the invitation gonna be like this. She's gonna play Victory in Jesus again, slow and soft. Victory in Jesus is a good invitation song. And I'm gonna keep quiet for about 2 or 3 minutes. Huh? Nobody gonna sing. But if you do not have your song in your heart because of a circumstance and you want to find your song tonight, I know where you can begin. Why, your bill? while you be. You have none because you ask none. Come and ask God. God, show me why I love my soul. God changed my life today. I'm saved. I'm one of you child, but I don't feel like much anymore. Please come. And it's gonna take guts for you to come tonight. Why? Because I leave in you set down. If you really have the guts to come tonight, you got to stand to your feet, crawl over somebody, and come to a aisle, and come, and if you can kneel down, I want you to do it. But if you can't, if you are unable to kneel down, come and say, and God will meet you by you. It's up to you. If you want to leave like you came in jail and bondage, go for it. But I promise you, I've given you an opportunity to get out of your jail. Now let me do a check. Do you understand what I'm asking you to do? You need to get guts right now. Do y'all understand? I'm not gonna believe you said, David, I'm not a member of the. I'm not calling for church. I'm not calling for people to join the church. I'm calling for people to get out of jail. So make up your mind right now. You're either going to come or you're not going to come. Let me tell you one that don't want you to come. The devil. The devil is having a holy fit. No, unholy fit. Huh? Duh. The devil wants you to say, oh, you enjoyed that summer, but don't stay and come. God knows you all you can. The devil don't want you to come, but Jesus said, come unto me, all ye are ever laden, and I will give you rest. Do you understand what I'm asking you to do? Bow your heads, close your eyes, and start moving. Come on. evening to come, come. I heard about a mason. They have built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crusty sea. And they have sung the redemption story. And because one sweet moment, I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to sing my song as loud as I can when I get to heaven. Sing the chorus. Think of the days we had with each other this week. I thank you so much for South Avenue, Mabby. I thank you for everybody who walked in the door Sunday morning last night and tonight. You know who they are. You even know them better than they know themselves. And I'm asking you to open up your heaven gates tonight and pour your blessing on the faithful members who came tonight. Oh Lord, I know a lot of people could not come in and you blessed them. But I thank you for these people. And I love you. I pray you have you used me in the life of the church in a special way. I'm not looking for a meeting. I'm looking for genuine revival. Thank you for who you are in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. I love you.